Hey guys.
Hey.
Is Jeremy joining us today?
What? Napping is important.
Listen, okay. All right. From the last episode, right? Here we are. We're just like, yep, and Jeremy will join us hopefully sometime. And we did the whole show.
And I kept mentioning it.
Yeah. And Jeremy's coming. And
okay.
Great. And yeah.
Okay. So I had a very long day. And then the thing to keep you awake after you've had a very long day is not watch Ninja Steel. Because I turned that episode on and like people were dancing. And then the next thing I knew, it was like 4 a.m.
Counting Z's.
Yes.
If you need to be put to sleep, just watch Ninja Steel.
Yes. Best sleep ever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, yeah, so Jeremy is gracing us with his presence.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Special guest appearance.
I know, yes. Right? Goodness gracious. But before we get to Ninja Steel, right, this past weekend, I mean, it feels so long ago that we went to Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, that was an extra long weekend for me because my weekend started on Tuesday.
Yeah, because you were traveling with a Brito.
Yes, I was entertaining company for multiple days before we even started going anywhere near Kentucky.
Jeremy had fun times with the Brits and then rolled his behind to Kentucky for Lexington Comic and Toy Con. There you go. People forget that it's... the toy is in the name. Like, people just like, oh, LexCon, Lexington Comic Con. I'm just like, the toy. There's a toy in the... But, you know, that's just my little whatever. Anywho, not important. Not entertaining. What I do want to mention...
The real question, did they have anything better than the Zio Icy posters from last year?
No, because they didn't have that store up in the corner. They just had a regular generic store on the bottom level that was like a local comic shop. And, you know, nowadays, local comic shop means, like, 80% of the store is pop figures.
Oh. Yeah, I went in, I was a little underwhelmed because it was pops. And, I mean, of course, yes, it's a comic store, right? So, comics. But then, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Because the one last year, that was a good store.
It was.
Got some covers.
It was pretty dope. It was like, we bought some things. But yeah, it was a little underwhelming. Yeah, you know, but this year, like, you know, they have their main con floor, and then they have the third floor where there's even more stuff. This year, I didn't even go to the third floor at all.
I went up there once, and that was during the first day when me and Grace were just trying to find something to do. And we were, you know, trying to lose our tail.
Oh, really? Yeah. Interesting.
What?
Yeah.
Trying to shake somebody down. Or
yeah. Off.
Shake off. Somebody off. Yes. There we go.
Yeah. Who could it be?
But yeah, I just, you know, this is the first, I'm just like, yep, didn't go there. Didn't miss it. You know, it was a lot going on. One of the things that were going on with the guests, them, you know, it was some RPM representation.
Getting gear.
And especially from the Aussies themselves, you know, you got Dan Ewan up in the house.
Yeah.
What?
The Milo Cawthorn up in the house. So.
Yes.
I must say, Dan, you are a treasure. I enjoy your company. But that tattoo, brah.
What's that tattoo? What?
He has a generic tribal tattoo on his arm that says Carpe Diem.
Oh, lame.
That's not great.
First off,
might be a mistake.
You leave Dan Ewing alone.
I love Dan Ewing. I love him.
Leave him alone.
Like it. Doesn't sound like
but
it.
But generic bro tattoo.
Leave him alone.
Maybe in Australia it's not as bad. You don't know.
Leave. Okay, so I was glad to have, you know, because we don't get, there isn't much representation from down under to these conventions, you know? So anytime that happens, you're just like, yay! And then, and of course, Rose McIver, she had to cancel her appearance because, you know, she has work to do. She got work to do. So that was unfortunate. But you had Mike Jin and Ari Boyland and the other two I just mentioned.
Dan.
So you, it was a good representation from a season.
And normally you would assume those would be the harder ones to find because, like you said, they're down under. But, hey. Because you know Rose will show up at something eventually. She will.
She had in the past. She's been to a couple of cons before. So, well, you know, it's not uncommon.
Even if it's
sort
of partially, even if it's partially because of, like, the iZombie thing, it's like, well, still, you get a ranger. So it's great.
Right. So I'm glad. And we were fortunate enough I was fortunate enough to moderate the RPM panel, which is great. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. And they said I did a good job. So I'm glad. I'm glad. Because, you know, I get nervous, y'all. Because, like, it ain't easy trying to, you know, be entertaining and try to come up with questions that, you know, aren't too out there. But also, like, you also want to save questions so that other people can ask them, you know. Mm-hmm. So they said, hey, I did a good job. I'm glad. Great. What other? Oh, okay. Okay. So the other panel that I moderated. Okay. Imagine this, right?
Oh, no.
You have a con. And it's a 3-day con. But this 3-day con, it's like, you know how usually Fridays they start a little later, and then Saturday and Sunday is the big shebang. So Lexington, no different. You know, if you held a 3-day pass, then you got to get in a little earlier at 1:00 on Friday, right? And then if you had just a regular 1-day pass on Fridays, then you got in at 4:00. So it's kind of like a VIP thing, but not really. But, you know, they're always trying some new things. So here I am, right? And, you know, Fridays is the day where you go and you get, like, it's still the best day for Lexington where you can go and get your crap done. Still that, because some people were afraid, like, oh no, are the mad rush is gonna, like, bog down Friday? Not really. Still the best day. Still the best day. So, on Friday, I got most of my stuff done. We did some interviews and stuff, you know, I'm fine. And so I got most of my stuff done. I'm like, oh man, crap, I can go home. This is great.
Who needs this convention?
Who needs this? No. But we had one of the panels that I was supposed to moderate on Saturday was the Power Rangers Turbo panel. Now, who's on the Power Rangers Turbo panel, right? You have Catherine Sutherland. Okay, great. Nikia Paris. All right. Mm-hmm, yeah, great. Mm-hmm, right. Roger Velasco, who's also a guest. Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
In theory.
Blake Foster. All right, fine.
In theory.
That's his thing, yeah.
And then Tracy Lynn Cruz canceled, so she would have been, but, you know, you have those four. All right, that's a good, you know, old crew, new crew type of thing. You know, Blake being the bridge between the old crew and the new crew. All right, that's a good, sizable, you know, that's good. So ask me what time this panel was.
What time is this panel, Lisa?
I'm going to say this time was at 11:00 on Saturday. Now, you would think, 11:00, it's almost afternoon. Not too bad, right? Ask me what time the con floor opens.
What time did the con floor open, Lisa?
10:00. So, if you have a panel that's at 11, but the con floor opens at 10, ask me who showed up to the panel.
Who showed up to the panel, Lisa?
Half of the people.
Oh. One gender got it right.
Pretty much. It turned from a turbo panel into a Catherine Sutherland and Nakia Paris panel. Because I definitely asked some Zio questions. I did not give AF. Okay?
They could carry a panel. I mean, let's be real. Nakia can carry a panel by herself.
Because they're friends and they travel together and all those. So, like, yeah, it was fine. And another question, Jeremiah. So, if you had four people for the panel, right?
Yeah,
You're going ahead of time to make sure that there's you know, you do a little sound check, a little whatever, just make sure everything's prepared or whatever. Ask me how many microphones there were there.
Lisa, how many microphones could possibly have been there?
For four people. And a moderator.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask me how many microphones.
I mean, I would imagine there'd have to be at least like five, right?
Right? You think.
At least.
Three microphones, y'all.
Oh, that's less.
And one was sort of kind of working.
Uh-huh. Sort of. Now I have a question for you.
Yes.
What sort of germane banners were there?
Sometimes when you go to these panels, right, and you have some, you know, banners in the back, maybe promoting your con that you're at. You know, you're like, oh, we know that we're at San Diego Comic-Con, or we're at Lexington Comic and Toy Con, or whatever it's called.
As you do, yeah.
Toy and Comic Con, whatever you call it, child by. But then, it didn't have that banner.
No?
No! It had banners for some lady who was a magician.
Yes, and some dude, like, swallowing sword or something was going on.
Oh, yeah, she was an illusionist. Okay.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah, the magic people left their banners there from the night before.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. So, we're having this panel about Turbo with half the cast with some magic banners right up on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Seems legit.
Yeah. It's great. Listen, we like the Lexington Comic Con. We do. Like,
yes.
There's a lot of things that do happen right. Like, there really is.
We've gone for four years.
To talk about the terrible.
Yes, yeah. We've gone there for 4 years in a row for a reason.
Exactly. Like, we wouldn't go if it was completely horrible. Right? Like, and Jared and Jamie, they do their best. They run a show that is better than most. I just found that funny. It's not the greatest of jokes. We're like, yes, then this was great. This was fabulous. And everything was amazing. No, you're not going to laugh at that. You're going to laugh at, like, random magic banners with Lady Illusionist and half of the cast of Turbo.
But they did take the time and spent the money to upgrade the cube mic from Mario, yes, from Mario Square to actual Lexington.
Yes.
Branded.
Yes, but this is square. Another room, not in this poverty room.
That's true. I know. That room had like two panels in it the entire weekend.
Yeah, so like we were in a panel room that was as if it was like nobody thought about it. Like it was the lone forgotten panel room. All the other panel rooms, they had the wonderful like cube that you can throw and people can ask their questions, and it was branded with Lexicon. It was good. So it was, you know, all the other AV stuff in all the other rooms, fine. No problem. It was just this one room. That was just like poverty. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. But I'm glad that, and actually, right, since there were only the two of them there, and so we had a third mic for people to ask questions.
Hey.
So it works out.
See, they knew how many people were going to be there, and they supplied just the right number of mics.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, I'm not a person that, like, you know, I don't do photo ops a lot. Like, you know, me just talking to people and whatever, that's usually fine enough. But, so that panel happened, and then maybe sometime afterward, there was the Power Rangers Turbo photo op. So then, you know, you would expect the Power Rangers Turbo cast to be there to... for the photo op.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it was only half.
Were there. Aww.
Same half?
Aww. See? Because they could have stood there and you could have put on a red shirt and pretend you were Selwyn Ward. It would have been great.
I know, right? But, yeah, so really, Catherine and Nakia, they were not too pleased.
No.
Because the panel is one thing, right? Okay. Now you're getting up to the photo op and just like, okay. And I don't know what happened, you know, I don't know who and the what and the how or whatever, you know, but hopefully I'm hoping that they made it up you know, with the photo ops at another time, I'm hoping, you know, because they usually, that leads me to another portion of this conversation. So there were many rescheduling things, right? It happens.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Another panel that I was asked to moderate was the Dino Thunder panel.
Hey, and I'm
just like, oh, all right, you got your Jeff Parazzo, you got your Kevin Duhaney, and Emma Lahana making a nice little appearance from out of the shadows, because we ain't ever seen her in a while, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, this is good.
Has she been anywhere besides the first PMC?
I don't think so. So this was a nice little surprise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I told... Now, okay. Seamus!
Yes.
Now, this panel was scheduled on Sunday.
Okay.
What time do you think this panel was?
I'm going to say... When did the con floor open?
Justin, what time do you think the con floor opened?
Well, I was actually going to ask the same thing. It's like, I know sometimes Sundays are weird, just right? In general.
Right. I'm going to say 11 a.m.
For the panel or the con floor?
Panel.
Well, ding, ding, ding. You win nothing, but you are right. You are right. It was at 11 o'clock, and the con floor opened at 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Now, here comes the big question. We got the big question. So, if you have a panel with your Dino Thunder crew at 11 a.m.
Yes.
Now, let's say these same Dino Thunder people are going to do a photo op.
Right.
What time would you schedule said photo op?
Yeah.
12:15.
That's a good answer.
Interesting.
Good answer. Good answer.
Give him some time.
Better question. What's the one time you would not schedule it?
11 o'clock.
Hey!
Look at you! Winning nothing, but you're correct.
Look at the big brain on Seamus.
Look at that. I remember it was Sunday morning, and I was walking with Jeremy. We were about to leave the con floor because I'm just like, oh. And then this time, I was asked to moderate, but I was just like, yo, Jeremy, look. Mm-hmm. You know that we know. It's 11 o'clock, right? It's going to be a little not somber, but it's going to be a little subdued because it's Sunday morning, 11 mm-hmm. o'clock, 10 o'clock, the con's going to open. You know, now everybody's going to be awake. So we need to be the hype machines.
Yes.
We need to tag team.
Church.
Right? Mm. And we need to, you know, MPS needs to represent. You know what I'm saying? So it was going to be me and Jeremy, you know, kind of like hyping up the crowd a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we're
walking.
Please
tell me this turned into the Lisa Jer panel.
So we're walking.
I mean.
We're walking to leave the con floor.
Yes.
To go to the panel. Right? Mm-hmm. To the panel room. And over the speaker, it says, the Dino Thunder photo op has been rescheduled to 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock for the Dino Thunder photo op. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So we're walking. I'm just like, well, we gotta walk there anyway. And so between asking staff, like, they rescheduled this at this time and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, it was myself and Jeremiah having to vamp for a good 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
While the Dino Thundercast did their photo ops and then would rush over to do the panel.
What'd you guys do for 10 minutes?
Talk about Dino Thunder?
Yeah.
Good choice. I mean, a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Right? What else do you do?
It was, you know, we did our little tag team, you know, like the little spiel of just like, you know, the best thing about Dino Thunder, mm-hmm. you know, some of the better things about Dino Thunder. And I was trying to like prepare the audience to saying, look, listen, they're going to come. I got to do the photo op, but you know, we have to make sure that we're here to represent the best Power Rangers season of all time. Now, some fans, they want to say, oh, they were like, oh, one of the best. I'm just like, hold up, time out. You cannot say that when they get here. Yes. That is not something we need to say, okay?
You can say RPM when you're at the RPM panel.
Pretty much. But you're at the Dino Thunder panel, so it is the best season of all time, okay?
You can say turbo, never.
Okay, so let's try that again. See, it was about 10 minutes of vamping. But they eventually showed up. We did our spiel. I kicked Jeremy out.
I think little kid was the MVP. That one little kid asked like 900 questions.
Oh, yeah, man. The kids, man, they be saving us, y'all.
The kids love the Dino Thunder.
Kids, let me tell you. And like, not dumb questions either. Like, it was like on topic questions, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, you have like, did you guys design the helmet? Like, yeah, you get your, you know, it's a little kid, right? Whatever. But there was an older little kid that was just like, yes, and can you tell us about how the protagonist handled the, like, I mean, like, he was, you know,
what sort,
like,
of Shakespearean, you know, he watched the themes show. Were followed and done.
Of course. So that,
I'm
was
sure good. All the actors were like, what?
But no, like, I mean, like, they, you know, of course, like, Kevin, he was not feeling too well, but whatever, and they're already a cast that are already kind of subdued a little, so, but there were some laughs, there were some things to be, you know, to there were some good times, and I was glad that nobody died. Great. So, but yeah, I mean,
expecting a lot of deaths?
You never know.
You just never know. Mm-hmm. These cons, like, you know, right. Somebody just comes up and tries to, like, hug you to death with all their germs. You never know.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, overall, I mean, I had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to go.
Last minute.
It was a last minute thing, but I was just like, you know what? I'm going. RPM. Got to get in gear. Got to represent. And it was good. It was a good show. It was a good show. Like, Lexington, you really can't have too many complaints with Lexington. So if there was a con that people should go out to, then they should do that one. So
yes, it's just the right length road trip for me too. It's perfect.
Yeah. There you go. So that was a little. Anything else, Jeremiah? I mean, like, I don't think.
I met Steven Universe.
How was that? Good?
That was amazing.
So
we had a nice chat about how we're in the golden age of animation. I loved it.
So now, for folks who may be new to the show, Seamus and Jeremy are big fans.
Yes.
Of Steven Universe.
I converted Seamus, and now we go and we convert everybody.
Right. So this is the thing: people listen to the show. If maybe Power Rangers is kind of letting you down, Just go watch Steven Universe. Yeah. You'll feel better about your life.
You've already finished both seasons of Voltron. You don't know what to do. Go watch some Steven.
So that's what they keep saying to people, right? And I'm saying that is all I'm so happy for you guys that you have something that you can enjoy in the midst of our drought.
Yes. Lisa has like two lines of the Cookie Cat song.
Cookie Cat! Yeah. Yeah, completely, right? When Jeremy, he told me about, like, meeting Steve, I'm like, oh, I'm glad you got to meet him. That's great. Whatever. Great. So, this was probably Saturday evening. Yeah, this was definitely Saturday evening. And I was at the hotel bar, but the restaurant-y side of the, you know, bar. And I was talking to somebody, whatever. And so I'm getting up, and then I'm walking out with some people. And I was with Karen Ashley, and then she was talking to somebody, and I just happened to be with her at the time. And so, you know, they're talking, I'm just like talking to this guy. I'm like, okay, all right. And I introduced myself. Oh, I'm Lisa. And, you know, and I honestly had forgotten his name. Right. So don't ask me his name now. Talking and you know, he's asking what I do and whatever. And then he's just like, oh yeah. I think he asked me, oh, so where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from New York. He's like, oh yeah, that'd be great. I would love to go to New York sometime. And, you know, hopefully the network will send us to like New York Comic Con or something like that. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, first of all, New York place to be, especially if you're going to come to New York, you got to go to New York, not just some frou-frou Times Square. No, you got to go to New York, right? So we're talking about that for a little bit. And, you know, he's, you know, like, and then we, like, started being like, oh, well, I'm only 19. I'm just, and oh yeah, because he mentioned like, oh yeah, I wish that, like, you know, maybe I'll enjoy New York a little better when, you know, when I get a little older, because I'm only like 19 or 20 right now. I'm just like, oh, poor little nubbins. Oh, right. And so, like, we're talking, and he mentioned the network about, like, you know, going in. I'm like, oh, what network? And he's like, oh, Cartoon Network. I'm like, oh, wait, what show are you from? He's like, Steven Universe. I'm just like, wait, what's your name again? I didn't know I was talking to the voice of Steven Universe.
Wow.
Didn't know.
I mean, he doesn't change his voice that much.
I don't watch the show.
You know what he sounds like?
Vaguely. I mean,
does he sound like a child?
I know, he sounds like a...
I mean, like, honestly, that's kind of what Steven Universe...
But, like, he sounds like an adult. I mean, like, yes, on the show, you can definitely tell when he has gone through puberty. Like, you can tell.
Early episodes are very different from later ones.
Right. So, but I don't watch the show, so I don't know his voice. I just know, like, I'm talking to some, like, 20-year-old. Like, that's all I know! And then he was... And... I was like, oh, right. You know, I have friends who are big fans of your show.
It's good to look at you like, what?
I didn't. Is... And then I was like, oh, yeah, and they're always trying to get me to watch it.
You are just making friends. Making friends.
Well, look, he didn't mind because he was just like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, you're around tomorrow. I'm just like, yeah, I'm here. So, yeah, you and Karen, come by my table.
Did you?
I forgot.
What?
Come on. How very...
The man, the myth, the deliverer of Cookie Cat, invited you over, and you just rejected him like that. Mm-hmm. Steven is not pleased.
I mean, I'm telling you, like, I don't know. And then, like, at one point, I was sitting at a table with, what's this guy's name? From, oh, gosh, it's Jed something. Jed, I don't know, like, he was, what's, there was a movie that had Tim Allen and what's
the
it
Santa Claus?
No, not the Santa Claus, something Quest,
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah,
Jungle the Jungle.
Yeah, what is this, Jed something? I don't know. Something, I don't know.
Oh, I think Chance was excited to meet that dude.
Yes, he was. Yes. Yeah. And again, this time, though, with Chance, I saw the picture. I saw the name, saw the picture that he took, right? Because Chance was dressed as one of the doctors, not actual doctors, Doctor Who doctor. And he took a picture with the guy, right? Huh. Guy sat at my table, didn't know it was him.
That one's excusable.
I mean. So, anyway, look, listen. And then, of course, like, when I'm flying home, like, Lexington, the airport is just one airport, one terminal, all the gates are at the same place. So, if you're flying from Lexington, you are bound to be on a plane with any one of these guests, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's just gonna happen. Yeah. And so on my plane, we're like all the guests from the con. We just loading up like the circus. Let's just go, guys. Let's go. Time to go home. So yeah, I honestly, like, half, if it's not a ranger, I don't know you. Or yeah. A wrestler. At least I can tell the wrestlers.
You know. You can see Jake Roberts stumbling around and Ric Flair literally showing up on Saturday already drunk.
Really?
Oh. He's never not drunk. He's Ric Flair. That's his thing.
Woo.
But yeah. Hope you didn't come early on Friday to meet Ric Flair. Didn't happen.
So yeah. Lexington, good job. Mm-hmm. We came back with stories.
Yep.
There it goes.
All the good ones we couldn't just tell, but
and Lexington was so kind that Nickelodeon was like, you know, Jer and Lisa are gonna be at Lexington, so we're not gonna air an episode of Power Rangers Ninja Steel this week. Mm-hmm. We're gonna save them up.
We're gonna give you double the pleasure, double your fun,
double
pleasure.
The trouble.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but Power Hour.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Power Hour, y'all.
Kenneth Copeland, here he comes.
That is a joke that only two people will get.
That thing was on before school.
Yeah.
Every day.
I know.
That man was screaming at me.
Yeah. Same.
And I was just like, stop talking. I want Ninja Turtles to start.
Sam, likewise. Likewise. I am with you. So, yeah. Ninja Steel. We're talking about Hack Attack and Gold Rush. Not It's Time for a Gold Rush.
If only. Just,
it's time for Gold Rush.
It gave the greatest line in all Power Rangers.
Just a Gold Rush. I'm gonna say this. I'm done with this show.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an opener.
I'm just so apathetic at this point in time.
Well, it's something that now we have these 8 episodes and we're not gonna get any more for, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit here and now we have to judge Ninja Steel on this because, some people are saying, maybe we'll get better, or now this is what we have. Now we have to work with.
It gets better. No, it doesn't.
And even if there is some kind of master plan that there are all these seeds that we don't see that will come to fruition later, that doesn't make these opening episodes being so boring and terrible worth it. It just won't. Because now we have to live for 5 months with these as the most current Power Rangers until the movie, obviously. And oh my God, they're shockingly bad.
Yeah.
I just want, when this show is over, I need someone to super cut every scene that has Victor and Monty together, and that's it.
That's just the show.
Super cut it all. It'll probably be like an hour long tops, and just give me that. I will watch that.
And the thing is, in a better show, like, say, Dino Thunder, like what we were talking about, is that in that, Victor and Monty would definitely be the worst part. Like, they would be terrible. But the thing is that in a show like this, where the Rangers don't really have characters, Brody sort of did for, a minute when Galvanax was like, oh, I took you in. Like, that was great. Probably the best scene in the show. But besides that, Victor and Monty at least sort of have characters, and they sort of have a goal. And they're gay, which makes them even better.
Super gay. They're as straight as that arrow he made.
Yes. And, you know, Monty was the bottom.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He started from the bottom.
Yeah. Yes. And now he's at the top.
I think the thing that gets me is Ninja still continues to have these weird morals, like episode 7, Hack Attack, where there's this whole thing about, oh, Sarah, don't overextend yourself with all these clones. I'm like, no. Like, if a clone can fight in a battle, like we saw that it did, she should be having those out in every single fight. She should have, 6 of them flipping around.
She needs Cyber Sarah.
Yes, Cyber Sarah.
She needs to be going, yo, Cyber Sarah.
Well, that's, come on. That's honestly what I thought of. It's like, this is yet another thing. Homage, please. No. Yes. This is a thing that they stole from Ninja Storm. Because they've been cribbing from Ninja Storm the entire time. And it's hilarious.
And Dino Charge.
It's ninja, I just don't know. I just don't know.
But Tristan, you saw that homage in episode 8 where you saw the Ninja Storm symbol. That was totally intentional, and that was totally a reference to Ninja Storm. Am I right?
And then when they played the Dino Charge theme, just
more homages,
which is so strange because earlier in that episode when they took out the monster on the ground, they had a really cool piece of original instrumental, which I was like, whoa, that's a good piece of music. And then for the fight, it's like, dun, 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 it's the same Dino Charge riff. I'm like, oh, what are you doing?
They even know that their current theme is garbage. Like, they even know. So we're just like, let me just put in Dino Charge.
I can't do this again. I can't.
Don't forget the other Dino Charge homage of one of the main villains kidnapping the Gold Ranger and the Gold Ranger getting free and be like, oh, that was cool. All right, whatever.
And also the great homage from Nickelodeon where all the bumpers have Tyler's voice on it. Yep. Great homage.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? They're all epic.
It's epic, guys. That's epic. Look at that epic thing over there.
Like, Tyler saying things were awesome was like, okay, yeah, it was a little funny, but, people say awesome in that way. This is awesome!
He sure said Jawsome. street shark so much.
Or you're about to get T-Rexed. I'm like, okay, that was fine. Uh-huh. But here, it's a bad line, but the delivery is also not great either. But it is a bad line where it's just, this is epic.
Yeah, he delivers it like, hello, fellow teenagers.
I feel like, I don't know if I said this or not, but I do feel like it's sort of their version of I'm fired up. What's his face?
It's about to get wild.
Some kind of
granada. Yes.
It's about to get wild was something that nobody would ever say, and that was fine. Whereas this is epic is something that someone might say in the real world, but the way they're using it is terrible.
And at least when Tyler said his line, he said it as if he'd spoken English before that day.
So it does feel a little like this is epic.
Epic.
Sounding it out. Because it's not a long enough phrase and they have to draw it out.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to be like, this is turnt AF. Savage.
Savage AF.
Yes.
And then, look, let me tell you something, right? Like, even with the first episode, Hack Attack, and it just seems so outdated, like...
Oh my god, this wasn't even good, like, by MMPR standards, dude.
I'm just utterly confused by the opening montage, because the opening montage is Sarah... So she goes and she plays chess extremely well. She camps extremely well. She runs extremely well. She does archery extremely well with all of her different clones. And the moral of the story is stop doing a bunch of different things poorly.
Yeah, she was doing them fine. She was having a great day.
If that's your lesson, you have to show her not doing well before the last minute when you're about ready to have the moral of the day crammed down your throat.
See, here's the thing. The lesson should have been, you didn't do jack.
Right.
Yes. Your freaking clones did it. Right. Like,
you're taking credit for other quote-unquote people's work.
Yeah.
You know, like it's cool that you programmed all, like, and also that would still be weird too, because then you could at least like give her a medal for creating holograms that can do anything.
Yeah, right?
Eliminating, like 90% of the workforce.
Nobel Prize. Like, yes. I mean, yeah. College. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yes.
Well
send those into the mines.
There's the moral of the story. Like, she made all these clones and all those clones did really well, and then the only problem arose when the other Rangers got involved. Whoops. Whose fault is it now, punks?
And there's that whole thing where I think they tried to justify it, but she's like, oh, I'm joining all these clubs because it'll look good for college. I'm like, okay, that's an interesting idea, but again, it needed to be that she either wasn't doing it very well or something. It just didn't it just didn't work at all. And also Mick, everybody was like, oh, Mick is such a great mentor. I'm like, or he could have just been like, hey, stop that. That'd be great.
You are a poor man, Spencer.
I also think it's interesting that, like, when we go to, like, the montage-y bit and she's playing chess, for some reason she's dressed like...
Nerdy. Like a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what is that? Why are you wearing glasses? Why are you, like, in this school marm outfit?
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
This is supposed to be Sarah's... Because, like, we've seen her a little bit and, you know, she likes technology and she has a hoverboard that no one comments on. And this is our first moment to really get to know Sarah. And all we really know, thanks to this episode, is she's really good with technology and she maybe overextends herself, ?
Mm-hmm. The generic concept of technology.
Yeah,
I love it.
My technology. This technology. Oh, no, we're technology. Like,
oh, my God.
Why are we talking like we're in the 90s?
Right.
This is the
reference nobody will get, but it reminds me of a couple years ago in the World Series. They give the MVP a car, and instead of having like the head of Ford give it to them, they had some random regional guy give it to him. And so he comes up there, he's all fat and sweaty and exhausted, and he goes, "Oh, we're gonna give you the new Ford Escape. It's loaded with technology and stuff." Awesome! Love it! Great!
Loaded with technology and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Both of them.
Okay, see, no. There's a really weird undercurrent in these first 8 episodes of Ninja Steel where so often there's a thing of, hey, look at this thing I can do. And it's like, no. Don't do that. Don't do something that you're now good at. It happened with Preston. It happened with, there was a little bit with like the whole YouTube thing. There was a little bit of that there. But then it was again with Sarah. And I'm like, why are we doing this? Why? Because again, and also, by the way, Preston is never going to show his magical abilities again. Just going to call it out right now.
No. He's done. He just sits there and he wears
I don't understand that. Yeah, they needed to have a reason for the whole clone thing, which is like, okay, fine, sure. And then also, Galvanax is the main villain of the show, and there's apparently four of him in the city. They don't treat this like it's a big deal. It's just sort of like, oh, it's just another thing. Yeah, we'll take care of it.
We're going to shoot our little frog guns to take down like seven Galvanaxes, because that makes sense.
But, yeah, oh, by the way, while Sarah was busy doing all these other things really successful, she had time to upgrade the frog guns, and they worked really well. So again, Sarah's winning all around. Good lesson.
Yeah, it was just that when she had to interact with herself, it got a little overwhelming. Like, maybe there was something about how there could be an episode where she doesn't feel confident in herself, so she makes holograms of herself that are better than how she is, and she's relying on them, but then it's that lesson of, oh, but you didn't do any of these things, and she's overcompensating. Then it could be like, oh, but like you made these holograms, like that's really cool, and then we could build up that part of her. But instead we're tearing that part down, which I don't understand, because she's a genius.
I would have liked all the clones to have different personalities, like Multiplicity, and one of them's like really stupid. I would have really enjoyed
one
that.
One kept just twirling her hair, like...
Yeah, well, sure. One was just, like, looking in the mirror, but... I was like, come on, I want Multiplicity. Give me Michael Keaton.
I mean, it was... And look, man, these shows that we are getting now are just... They're just so basic with their, like, let's learn this lesson. It's like... taking a coloring book and you're like, oh, I'm gonna color in the lines and there's gonna be a nice flow to like what colors I choose, and this is gonna have a nice picture that people can enjoy. No, you know what, I'm just gonna, you know, I have this bird I want to color in, I'm just gonna color it all red all over the place. It's all red. Lines.
And that's the weird thing where, look, there are some, you know, some people will say like, oh, you know, they should be building up to something. And I definitely think they should. But even if there isn't a super arc to Ninja Steel and we're just kind of doing these wacky thing of the days, okay, that's fine. Let's look at, say, a season like Ninja Storm, where when they started, they were just kind of having one-off fun adventures. I mean, obviously, there's all the Thunder stuff, but those first couple episodes... Those episodes were just fine little standalone episodes. I'm not going to say they were the greatest thing ever. Like, you know, Tori getting trapped in the camera and there was her double. It wasn't like the greatest episode of all time, but it was a fun. It was a fun, solid episode.
Yeah.
The greatest.
It's not going to make any top 20 list, but it was fun. And you got to see how the characters interacted with each other. You got a little bit about Dustin. You got a little bit about Shane. Mm-hmm. And even if it was little things like your real name is Waldo or you're afraid of spiders, which then in the Fear episode, his fear wasn't about spiders. It was about his brother, which was a better fear anyway, but still. And
Lisa's fear is spiders.
So we get this, but now these episodes aren't doing anything for that. It makes no sense. It doesn't go anywhere. I don't, except for all the Gold Ranger stuff, which really is badly handled anyway. We'll talk about that in the next episode. There doesn't seem to be any idea of just, it's like, here are some stock characters and we're just going to put them in some kind of situational things and they'll learn a lesson. And MNPR did that too. But those episodes were fine and really fun and engaging. Not all of them. Some of them were bad. Like, I always point to Yolks on You as the most forgettable episode of Power Rangers of all time. Can you say the plot of Yolks on You? I think not.
I think it had something to do with the chicken.
Sort of. No, it didn't. There were eggs.
Was that the one with the girl that kept turning Asian?
No, that was another episode.
The Goonie Bird eggs?
Yes, the Goonie Bird eggs.
Oh, okay.
It's just like there was a game show or something. Like, so yeah, not every episode of MNPR was great, but you know, you look at an episode like Food Fight, and that's it's a classic, and not just because it was on VHS, but because it was a fun episode where you didn't also, even in that early of an episode of Power Rangers, you didn't need a moral. Okay, like there wasn't really a moral to Food Fight. It was, let's just have a wacky food fight, which you'd think that this show would love. By the way, they love pies and faces and whatever and goo everywhere and slime, but here it's like, no, we have to perfunctory have a moral lesson. Power Rangers didn't always need to have a moral lesson. Or yeah, you sort of had teamwork.
Or if you had a moral, it was an overarching thing. Like, you know, like, does every episode have to beat you over the head with a moral? No. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're just like, oh, this character is learning how to do this, and they're learning this about themselves. And eventually they'll learn that themselves are good enough to be a part of this team. You're good just the way you are. It didn't need, like, every single episode telling you that. Like, it was okay. It was okay. Mm-hmm. And early MMPR, they did that. It did happen. So,
or if you even look at, and another failing of episode of Hack Attack is that the Astro Zord, dear God, is so bad. It's just like, oh, the Ninja Star gave it to us. What? I always flash back to
these visions. The vision. I can't with these visions. I can't.
We had two visions. And like, come on, man. Like, how many times can this Nexus just advance everything without any thought whatsoever?
Why couldn't Sarah be making the Zord based on the vision at the start of the episode? Or what if, like, and she's having a conflict where she wants to work on Ranger stuff, but she also wants to be able to look good to go to college, where, again, if, you know, you're working on holograms, you're going to get into college, don't worry. But let's just ignore that and say that was the thing, is that she was working on this new Zord. But instead, it's just like, nope, this thing that hasn't been built. I mean, God, even in Wild Force, they built up those extra Wild Zords. Like, Alyssa got a whole thing about the elephant. The whole episode was about finding the elephant, or the same thing with the giraffe or the polar bears or whatever. Here, it's just, nah. It's just, here you go.
Vision.
Thanks, bye.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to save you. And then it's going to save a rando Sixth Ranger. Discuss. Funsies.
Oh, that was even worse, where it's just this Zord, I guess, has artificial intelligence or something, or has a mind of its own. Yeah. It's like, I'm gonna go save Sixth Ranger, because shut up, that's why.
Yeah, and then there's a big hole in the ship that doesn't go down, because, you know, it's okay.
I honestly feel like we've gotten to the point where there was more effort put into the Mystic Force team getting spell codes than it was this team getting stars and Zords.
You know, at least the first episode with the spell codes, what was it, Codebreakers, was actually, like, a fun episode.
Yeah. Yes, and you actually, like, the thing is with the spell codes, the Rangers used the codes themselves and did things with them. Mm-hmm. In this, it was like the powers do things on their own. Like, why do we even need Rangers at this point? Like, we've proven the powers can just do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in Megaforce when Gosei would just be like, you earned a card, and even then sometimes the way Gosei gave out the cards was dumb, it was at least you did a thing in this episode, you earned a card. Yeah, it was dumb, but at least they did something to earn it. Here it's just a vision. Thanks. Yeah.
Lots of happenstance. This monster's here and we need a Zord that'll combat. Oh, here it is. Okay, cool.
And guys, there are a lot of words. There are a lot of words for space. Could you not have used Astro Zord, especially the Astro Ninja Megazord? Guys, it's
Galaxy!
Too close. Like, God. Could you not? I understand, you know, they don't remember the other seasons, but come on, you couldn't. Is there not, like,
I mean, they have a Dragon Zord.
They remember Ninja Storm. Oh, mm-hmm. God.
I mean, they literally have a dragon that is a Zord.
Mm-hmm.
So.
They're being, I guess.
Very creative. Nothing, they're being very creative this season, you know, so.
Nothing really shocks me anymore.
Like, I'm okay with animal names, just because there's always going to be, you know, there's always going to be a lion or something, you know. There's always going to be something.
Like, yeah. A lion galaxy?
Oh, geez, at least it wasn't. Oh, at least it wasn't, gosh. Like, Tokuger Galaxy or whatever.
That is the weirdest thing, that they're showing the final mecha just randomly in a very early episode. Something that you know is not supposed to show up until next season.
Well, that in and of itself is fine, because, okay, it's the show deciding for itself that it's going to tell its own story rather than tell somebody else's. That's fine. It's just the randomness.
So random.
Yes. And then the lion galaxy. Come on. Come on.
Like, what? You couldn't think of anything better.
Yeah.
That's like, mm-hmm. Dude, even huh? In MMPR, Master Vile was not from the Vile Galaxy. He was from M51 Galaxy. Yeah, he was part of the Vile Imperium, which is a very Power Rangers name, but he was at least from the M51 Galaxy.
God.
Well, maybe they could go the Ninja route and have that Mecha be voiced by something red and lion related from Wild Force? You know, that could happen. Oh.
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 Before we move on to the next episode.
You just had, wow, what a segue, Jer.
You
wow.
like that?
Before we, because he just shoehorned that crap in. This
hey, Heffalo. that kind of fit.
That kind of didn't.
Well, no. Literally in Ninja, that actual Zord is embodied by the guy who sang the theme song for Gowranger. Like, they actually got him as the actor to do it. And he's there. So.
Just keep digging.
It's there. It is there. Just because you didn't watch the source footage doesn't mean it's not there.
But yes,
well, even if she had watched it, she wouldn't know that fact, that trivia that you just spun.
The guy going,
spun. That's a great word, Justin.
I did not spin anything.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Quickly, part of the news that just happened is that.
Why? What happened?
Rick Medina, who played Cole, who played Decker from Samurai, has admitted that, hey guys, I'm a murderer.
Oh.
Hey guys, I actually killed that guy.
My bad.
And so he's waiting to be sentenced, and
6 years.
He could get up to 6 years in prison.
Yes.
Yeah. So
let's lament
the legends are true that we finally have a Red Ranger that's killed somebody.
Oh, I just had a vision about that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay. It's a thing where, look, fans, I know you want to defend your childhood hero, but don't.
Yeah. Can I just real quickly, and I feel like I kind of said this the first time this news came up, but get a dose of reality, people. Someone died. And that's the most important thing here, is that there's some sort of justice is going to happen. It doesn't matter that he played a character that you liked on a kid's show. That doesn't make him innocent. It's not a big deal that you can't get his autograph. And no one gives a crap if that's going to affect the movie with bad publicity for Power Rangers in general. You and your fandom means jack in this situation. It is just a bad thing that happened that also happens to involve someone who acted on a show that you liked. And if you liked Wild Force, that's also a problem.
Anyways.
Okay. But get over it.
Yeah.
Let's family grieve, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that people need to remember that this is real life.
Yes.
We're not talking about, oh, let's go to conventions and hopefully we can get what's his name, Rick Medina, like, to like make a surprise visit and, you know, let the jail like say, hey, can you just let him out for a weekend so he can like come to a convention? Like, no. What? Like, no. Yeah.
What?
Yes, that's live from Folsom Prison. Here comes Rick Medina.
No. We need to come back to reality that this is actually what happened. He actually killed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That person is not here to defend themselves.
Yes.
And, yeah. So, it is sad that this is really what happened. So, but.
And as a fan, that does not make you an expert in law. Okay, so stop telling everybody about your self-defense and your blah, 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 and you. This is why you should get this and this and blah, blah, blah. No one cares.
Because you're not a forensic scientist either. So
you're not a lawyer. You're not a judge. You're not on a jury.
You weren't there.
Right.
You don't have cool sunshades and have really cool background music anytime that you're about to solve a case. That's not happening either.
Nope, none of that. So. Nope, no lollipops.
And while,
don't. Are you Viola Davis? I don't think so.
So, and why? Look, man, we're not laughing, but this is not news I want to talk about because just when we find about that.
Oh, Samurai keeps on. Oh.
Samurai
keeps on giving.
Is just.
Wow, yeah, for real. They are just.
So.
Oh, Nana Boo Boo.
So, Renee Nafahu.
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 Nana Boo Boo.
Wow.
that played
Mentor, Jean Rupp.
Mentor in Samurai. Okay. Grom and SPD, but you know, let's stick to Samurai because really. down in the Kiwi land, was charged with 17 counts of sexual assault.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's like almost Cosby levels.
17, not 17. So, yeah, Samurai, y'all, like.
And that's like literally that is all we know.
Yeah, that's all
we have. No names, no details, no nothing.
We don't know what type of sexual assault. I mean,
yeah,
we're hoping. I mean, hoping is the wrong word to use, but like,
the good kind.
Like, it's
the good kind. What?
The lesser kind.
No, not the good. I mean,
not with children. Maybe?
Right.
Hey, okay,
right.
Okay,
not
okay.
With children. I'm gotcha. Hoping it's not with children because if it's with children, that is like. Horrible.
Yeah,
all of it is horrible.
No, it is. Yes, it is. No, it is. Yes, all of it is horrible. We're just digging holes. We're just digging holes on the show. Just...
He raised Jaden from a young age.
Can he? Oh my! Can we not?
Oh, them Shibas.
So
it's just really sucks. You know that. Whoever, like, you know, these are charges, whatever, but, you know, it's not good.
No.
But it's not, like, one charge or two.
Yeah.
17
is...
Does not sound good.
Unless he had one busy night, I don't know what...
Shut up, Jeremy. Shut up.
Oh, my... Oh, okay.
Right, back to Ninja Steel. All right, and we're done.
Hey, now Ninja Steel looks really good, right? Really good by comparison.
So...
Let's talk about Ninja Steel.
So episode 8, Gold Rush. So by the way, episode 7 ended with there's a you know, another Blue Ranger played by Sadarso says, Gold Ranger? And we start and it's like, okay, so we're gonna how they're gonna deal with that. No, episode 8 picks up weeks later.
You're missing one big thing though before that.
Oh.
We just had an episode that was all about Sarah being the smart one.
Yes.
And the last part of the episode is her delivering the super cool, super necessary line of whoever that is pulled the gold star from the Ninja Nexus whatever crap. Oh my god, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of dialogue in Ninja Steel that's like, cut that.
Thank you for telling us that.
Yeah.
Like, was it her or was it the other chick that at the end of the first episode was like that was like talking about how like the other stars being pulled, like, oh my gosh, the gold star's gone. Like, really? It took you to the end of the episode to realize the gold star wasn't in the Nexus and now you're delivering sweet bombs about how, oh, the person with the gold star probably pulled the gold star out. You are just
No, you're kidding me. No.
At the thousand. Oh my gosh. Stop.
I was hoping for another
hands.
Like 10-minute flashback.
Yeah. Yes. Like, what? Oh, it's a Gold Ranger? Wow.
But the thing is that the episode 8 decides, and this is a problem that Ninja Steel has, they keep skirting over actual plots that might be interesting. Like, they hint that there was like this cool weeks of mystery.
Right.
That we're just Odious not
Odious is all like, she has somebody in her, you know, in her lair and doing weird things to him. Come on, to him.
Yeah,
you know, it's
a
her. Right.
He's getting all king for a date.
Exactly. Yeah, they all snap. And then he just gets busted out by like Rando Zord and that's it. Like, that's it.
And then he's operating as the Gold Ranger for weeks. And. Wait.
And they say, like, they say she tortured him and did all this awful stuff to him. And he is like, what's up, guys? Hey,
yep, hey.
I'm sorry.
This is the same. This is the exact. And we were joking earlier how this is basically the same thing as Ivan. And that was also a problem with Ivan's thing, too. Although Davi Santos was so great, you didn't think about it too much. Was that it's like both of these guys should be kind of tortured people a little bit. And they're both pretty happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
Yep.
And not like happy-go-lucky like Jem and Gemma, where you can tell there's like torment behind it. It's just like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm a really famous country singer, and I've been missing for months, and nobody talked about it.
Yep.
Well, okay, now, the episode did try to give an explanation for that at the very end, where he says, yeah, I was up in the mountains working on my album. So you can sort of say that nobody mm-hmm. noticed he was gone because he was off writing his album. It's weak, long? But it's something.
But how long?
Yeah.
Well, like, apparently...
he said for months. Like, yeah. It was planned for months. Yeah.
And like nobody and checked also, in, like his no, like Tom didn't check in on him during all that time.
The one rando black dude, you know. First of all, us black folk, right? If you go missing for like a day, we texting you like, where you at? Where you at? Why you ain't answering me? What's going on? Like, that's what we do.
Yeah, it just seems weird that it's like they did so much, and we don't know how much time has passed since that first episode, because basically he's been kidnapped since the time of the first episode or the start of the second episode to now. And we don't know how long that is. I mean, you know, Calvin can get a
driver's... Maybe? Are you sure? Maybe? I mean, I don't know. Oh, well, yeah, that's true, because the ninja prism whatever's just flew to him.
Yes.
And it was just like, all right, I'm here for you to take the gold star. And he took it, and then all of a sudden the Kubo, what is this? Kobo?
Kudabots.
I like these foot soldiers. I do, but I never know their names. I'm sorry. No. But yeah, like, so okay, this is true. This is valid. This is valid since the first episode. Okay, valid. Mm-hmm. How much time has gone since the first episode in this one?
We don't know. Well, time is weird in this city because, you know, you can get a driver's license in like a day.
Yeah.
Not even half a day.
I mean, realistically, it's 20 episodes and it takes place over the span of a year. So, you know, in your head, you can kind of fudge it and say that every episode is like two or three weeks. Yeah, a couple weeks. But you don't really know.
No, because between the last episode and this one, it's weeks.
Yeah, because in my mind, it's been like 2 months. But that's arbitrary just based on number of episodes in a season. So,
and that's the weird thing where, and look, you can be up in a mountain writing an album, but someone would have checked on him at some point, especially if he's this super famous singer.
Especially this, I was going to say Uncle Tom. Child, especially this Tom that is on his nuts for like, even for a signing. He's just like, all right, let me remind you of the rules. So, it reminds me so much of a con, but whatever. I remind you of the rules. Like, he seems like one of those uppity people. So, like, I just
he was don't... worried about his signing hand. For real. Come on. This dude.
He was worried about germs. And okay, here's, you know what? There's a lot of unrealistic things in Ninja Steel. You know, like Victor and Monty work on cartoon logic, blah, blah, blah. The most unrealistic thing I may have ever seen on Power Rangers is four teenagers all super into country music.
Hardcore. Yes. Into country music.
And
it wasn't like they like one song. They were like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to meet this guy.
Like, not even just four teenagers. I mean, Monty and them. And then,
oh, that's true. Jeez.
And then all those people in the line who are not 40 years old.
No. I can believe other people being into the country music, but in that group of friends that all four of them love, yes. Or I guess six if you include Victor and Monty, really?
Yeah.
Like, really? You give it to one. You give it to one, and they're all with
yes,
that person.
One or, yeah, right. like make it like
or maybe the two girls if you want to be like,
right.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Yeah, even if you want to make yeah, like make it Haley and then make Calvin be like, ugh, oh, dragging me here, blah blah blah. Like, yeah, give it something.
I like that little. It's like Calvin's little over her face.
It's great.
Yeah. Like, oh.
Because I was like, if that didn't happen, I was gonna be mad.
Yeah, she wants Luke Bryan. Why didn't she want me?
I love that so much because she's just like, you're pretty cute too. She's not even saying that he's cuter.
I know, right? Not even number one.
Yeah,
not even number one.
And so I really, now, man, I don't know why I'm bothering to hope for anything for Ninja Steel, but it would be nice if they address this later where there's this hot, famous star on the team. And not only what potential does that have for his character, although, you know, he's just going to end up going to high school because shut up, that's why. But how does that affect Haley in terms of, oh, there's this guy that she thinks is super hot and is like fawning all over because of his fame? And how does that affect Calvin? But that's way too interesting. So that's not
good. No. Like, by next episode, they will just be treating him like one of the team. Like, hey, what's up? What's up, Levi?
And he'll be like, I transferred to your high school.
Uh-huh. And nobody here knows I'm famous anymore now.
I mean, that could be interesting, though, to do a love triangle. Not something that you see often on Power Rangers.
Oh, it could be interesting, so it's not going to happen.
Well, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, even if they actually do it, like, it'll be something lame.
It'll be terrible, is what it'll be. I've always said that I wish that Power Rangers actually had more... I'm not saying like Degrassi level romance, but some level of that kind of serialized soap element, just because I think that'd be fun. I think kids enjoy that to a certain degree. I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But yo, okay, Victor and Monty are stealing the show again. I just love how they just laugh at like a 10-year-old. And right. She's just like, whatever.
Oh, it's amazing. I love them so.
And what's great about it is these guys aren't like Bulk and Spike, where it was, well, obviously really trying to ape the Bulk and Skull thing. Here, they are clearly the comedic sidekicks, but they are at least doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little unique, and they're fun characters to watch.
Yes. I've always, I mean, well, you know me, I'm the weird one who's always preferred that sort of stuff.
Glad you said the weird one.
Well, I mean, again, I've always said it, like, as a kid, I liked Bulk and Skull, I liked Billy and Trini, and everybody else was also there. That's just how it was.
Obviously, the best other version of the sidekicks was Cassidy and Devin, because one, they felt more like real people, and they actually got plots that weren't about them being silly, which was nice.
They grew as characters. It was amazing.
Yes.
So here's my thing, right? The whole notion of, like, everybody's a fan of this dude except for Brody, right? Mm. And
it seems like Brody is only not a fan because he's, like, from space.
Yes.
Like,
which they don't...
Ignorance is the only reason why he doesn't like this guy.
Right.
But they don't even mention, like, honestly, you know, we don't need to remind ourselves of it every episode. You can infer. But it also reminded me once again that it's like, oh, yeah, he's from space. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, why did you dress up? Oh, like, this Tom dude, yo, like, this poor child... Hey, why, you didn't dress up. Why? Because, like, well, because, you know, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who would say such a thing to people who they just meet, and I don't know who would say that. Anyway, so... it's like, I don't relate at all. So...
No, never. That would never happen.
Never.
No.
Never would happen. So, yeah, I'm like, I'm just here for my friends. So, that's the thing. I don't mind their premise. Okay, there's one person who's not a fan is going to treat this Levi Duke. First of all, Levi, that name.
Levi, right? Lottery. Bring it back.
Levi, now I don't know what the actor's name is. Jordy, LaForge? Last name. Jordy LaForge. Jordy something. Weber, I want to say. So I don't know what type of ethnic background he is, you know, I just say he's a swirl. I don't know what he is. So, but like, his character's name is Levi, and he's a cowboy.
Levi Weston.
Weston. Get it? Weston.
Oh my gosh.
It's really on the nose.
Yeah.
Yes. You get it?
So his name is Levi Weston. and he's a country singer. Now, Levi sounds like he's a Jewish brother. I'm just saying. So wouldn't it be great if this was a Jewish brother who was like from the Middle East or something singing country songs?
Madashahu.
Look at that. That would be nice, but they're not going to touch that. He's going to be just like some racially ambiguous guy who just likes the cowboy songs. Like,
yeah. He already said get her done.
Good lord. And look, the idea of having a country singer to fill in the whole Western motif with the Gold Ranger, that's a fine idea. You know, mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. I still like the idea of the New Zealander who's obsessed with American things. I thought that was a good idea. I think Jer came up with that. I thought that was really funny.
Well, and then in the Gold Ranger, he has his little guitar as the thing or whatever. So
yeah,
like,
Not, makes sense.
It's not the cowboy aspect that I have the problem with. It's the everybody else surrounding this cowboy aspect that I have a problem with. Not everybody's a country, fan. and everybody that's going to be in my close circle of friends. It's not happening. When the one guy who's not a fan is just like, oh, well, I'm just going to treat you like a regular person, and this is what's going to happen, and now we can... I just wanted you to be my friend. I didn't want to hire you. Like, what? No! Stop!
Although, actually, fans could take a lesson from that.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I feel like there could still be a great story in here that is about fans and fandom and how they treat famous people.
I know.
There could be a cool story.
This could have been a great episode.
Yes.
Could have been. However, like, this notion that, like, I didn't really hire you as a bodyguard. Hello. I just met somebody who just treated me like a normal person, so I just wanted you to just hang around me and...
He wanted a rent boy.
Yeah.
I mean, there was. Now, have we determined, like, this isn't Aiden? This is not Aiden. It's not Aiden.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I have not closed the door on that at all.
I'm gonna assume it's not Aiden, and the reason why that is Ninja footage, because, long story short,
spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers for Ninja. Whatever. At the end of Ninja, you have the Red Ranger, his dad, and his grandpa, all as the Red Ranger with slightly different variations of the same costume.
At the same time.
Yes. So I assume they're doing that, but just going brother, dad, instead of grandpa.
Like you had mentioned to me, Jer, is that what they've already set up, that Gold Ranger and Madame Odious and the Ninja, like, they have a feud, and they've set that up here with, like, her having kidnapped him.
Yes. The running plot is basically she consistently tries to turn him evil throughout the series. Like, she keeps coming back for more.
And if they try to pull some, like, oh, he got amnesia before he was kidnapped, and he forgot who he was, and he changed his name, then that's dumb. Although there was that really weird line where Brody was like, yeah, you know, my brother used to love these. Like, what?
Cool story, bro.
I mean, it's just so rare. Look, I mean, it's just so rare. Look at that scene. Let's just talk about this scene, okay? Right? They're walking from some burger hut shack, whatever.
Hut shack, yep.
Getting some chili dog koozie concoction. Walking past, my brother Aiden loved the world. Curious. Then they walk past a lady who was just like, oh, my car, it's not working. Oh, aren't you that guy? Nope. Let me help you. And then it's like, a birdie is like, I know how to do this. I know how to fix cars, too. I'm awesome. And he does that. Like, that whole scene was for what? What was it for?
I think
for?
It was supposed to establish their friendship, question mark.
Like, what was it for?
Yeah, that's
it was
bonding.
Just a random... Mm-hmm. Scene that they could show bonding over something that's actually important instead of rando, like, throwaway line of Aiden and oh, look, I can fix cars too, I'm so awesome. Oh,
what
you want to be my friend,
was,
more awesome.
What if, and here's an idea for a scene that has two less extras, is that it's just they get their burgers or whatever and they're sitting there and eating them, and Brody has a moment of being like, damn, like, I miss my bro. And he can, and, you know, Gold Ranger can ask him about that, and they can have a little heart to heart or something, you know, so we can actually pretend Brody has emotions or something besides this. Just epic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, my God. With the mom and the kid, I was like, oh, and you gave away my sandwich. Oh, that's my chili dog, man. Like,
chili
dog. He was, whatever he's called.
That's no good.
Like, I thought he was really going to snatch it from that kid. I'm like, snatch it.
No, see, you know Monty would do that. Monty would snatch that.
Mm-hmm.
See. Like, come on. But no, it's just like, we're both smiling and eating a hamburger. Look at me. This is amazing. It's just,
you know,
wasted.
I'm going to give the show this, though. Levi, attractive looking guy. Just going to say that.
I mean, he is. Very much. Mm-hmm. He's a looker.
Oh, please.
He's
got
looker.
Good eyes. He's got good eyes.
Yeah, now he's that easy.
You know, okay, you know what, Jer? You got what's her face? You got Sarah and her cowboy outfit. Did you see that outfit, though? I'm shocked they had that outfit on Power Rangers.
I was going to say, I like Haley more than Sarah, actually.
Oh, looks really?
Yeah. Oh, you down with the smart.
Yeah, no, actually, Jerry, I agree with that too. I think Haley's pretty hot.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, like, the Levi ain't too bad looking. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's not an issue on this show.
No.
I don't know. Now that you guys kept saying bodyguard, I just keep envisioning Brody carrying Levi while I Will Always Love You plays in the background.
Oh my god.
And I need that scene to happen now. Please make that happen.
See, this it's is all. This so is all. Good. The show's making you think Victor and Monty are gay. Nah, it's gonna be Brody and Levi.
Well, yeah, because they were at the end. They're like, "Hey, I was surprised when I saw you turn into the Red Ranger." Well, I was surprised when I saw you turn.
I was surprised that take you from behind. I was surprised that I did.
Did we just become best friends? I think we did.
I was surprised we were alone in a room. I was surprised that everybody was watching. Hey,
they have to do the samurai thing now and be like, "I'm ready for some action."
No, I still can't believe that scene is real. And the fact that, like, the music and Antonio, like, pops his collar.
Mm-hmm. He pops a few things.
Yeah. Like, okay, no. That article's out now, so we can talk about it for just 1 second, where I asked the story editor for Samurai, James W. Bates, about Jade and Antonio, and he's like, no, I had no idea, and I explained the scene to him, and he's like, wow, the fans make the show way more interesting than I ever could. Of like, ain't that the truth, sir?
Kind of a prerequisite for watching Samurai. Just saying.
Yes.
Make things way more interesting than it really is. Listen. I'm all for different relationships happening on the show. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you want to be subtle, whether you want to be overt, your choice. Your choice. However, right, what I don't need is some over, I mean, yes, we always have this for the Sixth Ranger, right? They come in, they're overpowered, they're amazing, they're whatever, and blah, 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 yada, yada. But what I don't need are the other Rangers to be, to their powers to be so, like, oh my gosh, this little fishnet, oh, we're stuck.
That's so bad. Mm-hmm.
Like, that was
glowing green.
That was horrible. Okay, I was like, so fine. It's glowing green. Okay, he has a little thing. Okay, fine. Suspend disbelief. Fine. Whatever. Then the Gold Ranger, pew, and knocks it out of the monster's hands. Pew. So that means you see a shot of the remote that is broken. That means that the net is not having its powers where it'll keep down the Rangers. But the Rangers still stay down there.
Yo, Brody wasn't even on there. Brody wasn't even in that net. He was like a foot.
Nope. Not at all.
And that's the problem. This is such a bad Six Ranger intro. It's one of the lesser Six Ranger intro episodes because I mean, look back at Dino Charge. You know, we're not going too far back. They built up that whole Xandar crap for so long, and they really hammered it in there. And then when he finally showed up, it was like, okay, there's some buildup. So when he does show, and you thought, and you like, you genuinely could think that it was Tyler's dad. Like if we hadn't followed casting or whatever, you could have believed that it was Tyler's dad. Here, there's supposed to be a mystery that's introduced maybe one episode before, and it doesn't really work. You skip the weeks of who is the Gold Ranger, you know, referencing a way better arc of episodes, never great. And here it's just sort of, oh, it's this guy we literally just met. And, you know, you can do introducing a new Ranger and making them cool in one episode. It's been done. You can make it happen. But here it's just so quick. It's so quick. And when these seasons are supposed to be, I mean, they're basically 40 episode seasons spread over 2 years. Come on. You can take a little more time. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least do things in the first 7 episodes to build him up more.
But
come
look,
on.
Man, you know what I have to say about Levi though? Like, why he have to set up a brother though? Like, why he just left the star in the briefcase with the brother and be like, yo, guard this. Like, yo, you set up a brother. Like,
cause... you know, he'd get.
Hello?
Whoa. That was crazy.
That was weird. Don't know what happened there. Like, my whole Skype froze.
Yeah, you were...
Yo, you totally went max headroom.
Really? That's weird?
Yeah. That was awesome. He went.
Yeah. You're paying homage to our brother.
Catch the wave.
Wow.
But yeah, no, like I was saying, like, yo, like Levi was setting up a brother. Like he was just like, guard this. Didn't tell him what it is. Didn't tell him what it was about. It was just like, yo, guard this. You cool. You good. You good. You good. You good, bro. You good. And then brother get kidnapped, yo, because they think that he the Gold Ranger.
Honestly, I feel like that was because we had seen his hand and it was not super pale. And they wanted to surprise us.
That was such a bad, yeah, because it was supposed to be like, oh, you think he could. It's like, dude, come on. You know the way this episode's playing out. It's not going to be that guy. Stop.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, look, where there's not much lighting here, so his hands look darker. Ooh, I wonder, is that why you hide a black dude? Really? Really?
This isn't some red herring White Ranger, you know, Richie Curtis thing, okay? We've never met this guy before. We know he's not the Gold Ranger. Stop.
It's Ryan Steele.
Trying to make us think the black guy's the Ranger. That's the white guy. That's Ninja Steele's calling card.
Yep.
Yep. Doing it to me again.
I do appreciate
that. Could have been a black guy too.
Yes, I appreciate that finally in episode 8 we see the Ninja Steel Rangers act a little bit like ninjas for like 2 seconds.
What?
No,
were they doing their little scuba outfits?
Yes.
Assassin's Creed thing. Yes.
Oh, if they jumped into a big bunch of hay, that'd be amazing.
Hey, you know, with the Western theme, could have been appropriate. Just saying.
True.
No, but you're right. You're right, Tristan. It's like, oh yeah, this is supposed to be about ninjas and how Brody's supposed to have learned from the greatest white ninja ever.
Right.
Yes.
I don't even.
They're all cultures.
It took 8 episodes. Eight episodes. This is the introduction of the 6th ranger among them. And now we're seeing them do a vaguely ninja-like thing with their ninja costumes that are not their ranger suits. Like, 8!
What about those 2 seconds when they were practicing in the base? That was pretty sweet.
That is,
right. God, the Stone Canyon trio did more ninja-ing than this team has so far.
Yep. Dino Charge, like, did more training and, like, that's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But their secret base is still in the school.
Or it's, yeah, it's either in the school or it's in the easily accessible parking lot for the shop behind the school.
So they can't train because they're going to be found out. Like, but they don't care because they just morph in the public anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, just rando people just seeing them morph.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they can always go back to the Dino Charge Forest. They love to spend time. Like, okay, like, literally, they defeat, like, Ripcon in random, warehouse, and then they immediately cut to Dino Charge Forest to summon the Zords. Like, what? Why? Why did you go there? Why are we here? Why is this happening?
And isn't this footage from before the Gold Ranger showed up in Ninja? This Zord footage?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to assume so because they took the time to introduce each Zord individually. So, and that's usually first couple episodes stuff.
Yeah. So. And they were using the thing we joked about earlier. You could see the little Kaku Ranger symbol on the...
Okay, yeah, that's the thing is, like, they showed the giant attack across the screen in, like, Batman font because that's what Kaku Ranger did. And then they immediately cut to... Hurricaneer symbol with him doing his little wind dance thing, and they never even built up to it. Just like, hey, this is a thing I can do, because there's supposed to be an actual star that you use to do that, but we only use the one for the multiple shadow images stuff, which is supposed to be Kaku Ranger stuff, but now we've explained it away as Sarah did the thing.
Which is fine. That was okay. I mean, you know, you still see the symbol, but, you know, a little awkward. Fine.
Should edit those out, but anybody who was hoping to see, you know, some Pua or whatever, that's not happening.
We can still do it next season.
I don't want them to.
Dude.
I want Pua.
But see, yeah, so do I in a good season. Like,
aww. Yeah.
Well, why waste your resources?
Seriously.
Oh, because it's the 25th anniversary next year, and that's why.
Who cares?
So,
like, they're not.
So that's why they're going to do it.
They're going to
waste their resources. Mm-hmm.
Blitz old Rangers.
On this show.
This is the thing where, and I talked about this in my Den of Geek review of this episode, and I would love your guys' thoughts on this theory. It's just a theory. Is that I genuinely believe that now that with the movie out already, depending on when this comes out, and the comic book, is that I think that the people behind Power Rangers have decided, okay, the comic book and the movie are for the older fans. This is now exclusively for children. And now that doesn't excuse all of the issues with the show, right? But I think now they're just like, you know what? We don't have to try to cater to adults. We don't. It's just dumb morals every episode, and it's kiddie fun, and we're not going to have any sense of like emotional stakes in it. I mean, does that make sense? Am I just coming up with this off the top of my head?
It
sure feels that way.
Yeah, it's possible. It could be that. It could also be just the fact that they are so focused on the movie that they aren't really paying a whole heck of a lot of attention to the show. Could be a mix of both.
I just feel like, because yes, I had a similar thought, Seamus, and I just don't really get that as like an idea, really, because I mean, I get the idea of wanting to have different things where different age groups can enjoy Power Rangers, like, as an idea, like, and that be like their main thing that's for them, sort of, you know, but to then say this is only for this group and ignore all the people that are already, you know, for a fact are already watching. Right. I'm not saying never should you like cater the TV show, the traditional TV show to like adult fans. I don't think the show has ever done that, and nor should it really. But at least don't make it like this, guys. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense to me.
That's the thing, right, where if this is supposed to be for children, then it's really bad when you get to like things like the end of this episode where we're all laughing that Victor is about to die.
Yeah. It's worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For kids. I'm not even, like, for kids, it's worse. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. Like, as a strategy, it makes no sense to me. Go ahead.
No, you go. No, you go.
No, because I'm in an incoherent headspace.
Incoherent, so. To me, it's a weird thing of just, even if it is meant for five-year-olds, that's no excuse for the plots just not tracking very well and not being paced very well. It just doesn't work. And it doesn't, and if it is for younger kids, then there's just things in there that don't then make sense about like, well, then why would you have these elements? Again, I've always said, I feel like there's something, we're missing some amount of knowledge about the show. You know what I mean? No matter who or what, or is causing some of these problems that we're talking about. Cause nobody wants to make a bad show, right? Like nobody's sitting there and it's like, yes, I'm going to ruin Power Rangers. Nobody thinks that. Some fans do. Some fans think that that's totally a thing that goes on where somebody in a boardroom is like, I'm going to make a terrible season. F you fans. Like, no, that nobody's thinking that, but there is some lack of oversight or some notes or something's going on that we don't know about that's causing the show to be this way, because I cannot believe that this is acceptable quality.
Well, we've always said that there are kid shows that are written well and that are paced well and that have good characters. We've said it time and time again, so we're not saying like, yo, forget them kids, yo, like, who cares about them kids? Like, we know where that bread is buttered, all right? However, you can make sense in your show.
Mm-hmm.
You can make sense. Yep. I mean, yep. we're not asking at this point, not asking for much, not just logic and
there's some
life.
Yeah. Okay. I'm reminded of an episode in RPM, right? And RPM, of course, you know, we acknowledge as being a show that we like a lot, but there is an episode called And Action, right? And listen, I really have enjoyed so much of the stuff that has Judd Lynn's name on it. I've said this many times before. It's really great. This is one of those episodes where I felt like maybe it was kind of revealing of something that I thought was somewhat unfortunate, which was the way that they handled the supposed behind the scenes elements of that show, because And Action was a behind the scenes special, basically explaining what the show is, how the show's made, that everybody's an actor or whatever. But the thing is, they didn't just do that. They didn't just go behind the scenes. They pretended that the actors are actually the characters that are acting out themselves.
In character behind the scenes.
And they made it seem like the stuntmen were actually just the actors too, doing stunts, like, and all kinds of strange, unusual things. Because it seemed, anyway, the mindset was, oh, they're kids. We don't want to overwhelm them with the truth, so we'll give them this half-truth.
Which really is all lies.
No, I just found that very frustrating. I can understand why someone might feel like that was the best way to handle it. I disagree completely that it is. And this is why I say, like, it's revealing of something that I feel is unfortunate. Because in a very strange way, I could sort of see a vaguely similar mindset going into something like Ninja Steel of like, oh, it's, if this is exclusively for kids, then we should write it a certain kind of, yes. And wow, do I disagree with the approach, if that's even anywhere, you know, which anywhere also, near what they were thinking.
Which is also fascinating you point that out, Tristan, because you think back to those, the days of MNPR where they had all those zillions of promos, especially after the whole violence controversy happened, where they had all these things where we're just actors, you know? And there's, I always loved that one promo with Paulie and Narvi where these kids were like, yeah, you're Bulk and Skull! And they're like, no, we're not. We're just people. And it's so weird that then so many years later And Action is just like, no, like, where the characters are real. And all that. It's like, dude, come, kids are not stupid. They're not stupid. And again, look, we've said before, like, honestly, you can put most things on in front of a four-year-old and they'll probably watch it. Okay, you know, we're not dumb.
Sure.
You know, we get it. We know, you know, you promote something enough, a kid's going to watch it. But they also aren't that stupid.
Yes, right.
Come on. And also, if this is supposed to be for five-year-olds, then you should be teaching better lessons. And you shouldn't have so many confused lessons like the show has. This is supposed to be like Sesame Street Power Rangers, where we're learning to share and be friends. Then you better do it that way then. Because the show is pretending like it's still aiming for something higher, but it's also then trying to have the other side of it and being like, no, but we're also for little kids too. And you can't do both things. You can't have little kid show and action adventure show for older people. You can't have both at the same time. You have to pick one. And if you're going to do little kiddie show, then you have to go for the little kiddie show stuff. You know, if you're going to do dinosaur trains, you got to do dinosaur trains. Dinosaur Trains is not going to have like this intricate sci-fi, you know, thing going on at the same time. We're just doing wacky little episodes. And if like it that much, but I would at least say, okay, that's what you're going for. What we have now is a show that has almost like a crisis of identity where it's not really sure what it is, and what we're getting is something in the middle, and it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's why I'm done.
Yeah.
Done in your rings?
Like, I mean, what?
It's the same thing every week.
Who wants to hear this every week? Seriously.
It has been this every week.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear same old stuff? Oh, and then like 10% of it is like, oh, well, that was cool.
Well,
like,
I'm not
really here for the 10% no more, man. Like, I'm just, I mean, granted, is it easy for me to say it's done when we're on a hiatus?
Right.
Yes. True.
But isn't that just bad that this is what we're left with for 5 months to sort of chew on? You know what I mean? Where you compare this to even Dino Charge or Dino Supercharge is 8 months to chew on. There was something there to chew on. And here, no, sir.
No. It's weird.
But when it comes back in September or whatever,
we'll see.
You'll see. Yeah. To be honest, yeah, because I was revving myself up to, I mean, I sort of talked about this in our last review, but like, yeah, I was revving up to basically say, I think this may be my last episode that I just watch, period. For at least for a while. And when I say that, again, like, we're on a hiatus now. Like,
yeah, like,
so there's no new episodes anyway, but like, my intention at this point is not to watch the next one. that airs. And it's not to watch the next one after that or after that, unless I hear something that is like extremely positive about something that happens to motivate me to watch it. I don't feel any motivation to watch it, like, let alone whatever, you know. There's so much now, right? to talk about without even touching this show.
Treasure.
Yeah. This thing, yeah. That's
like I'm 150 billion% okay with not talking about Ninja Steel ever again. Like, it would have to be something revolutionary.
Yeah.
That comes on the screen, or, you know, if
in Super Ninja Steel, like, they actually get people coming back.
By the way, surprise, it's gonna be Super Ninja Steel next year.
Yeah. What to expect. Like, and this is like what you talked about, Tristan. I think it was last time or the time before that, where it's the next thing to string the fans along. It's the next thing to say, oh, it might suck now, but you can look forward to this thing that won't be that great. It's been the same thing since the show came back. There's always an excuse. There's always something to look forward to. There's always, well, Samurai was rushed into production, so I'm sure Megaforce will be fine. Oh, well, Megaforce wasn't that great, but the Super Megaforce will have Gokaiger, and that'll be great. Oh, well, Dino Charge was fine.
Dino Charge was actually fine.
But here's the problem. Is that I talked about this last time, where it's the 4 years of suck, 1 year of good. I can't do that, man. I can't do that with a show where, you know, you have 4 years of Kalish, RPM, then 4 years of suck, 1 year of Dino Charge. Dino Supercharge really went off the rails, and now we're not doing well with this. And can Ninja Steel get better? Yes. But when you start with such a bad start, and there have been a couple PR seasons that have had bad starts that sort of pulled together in the end. I always think, like, I think Second Half Turbo is great, but that was a dramatic shift because you had a cast change. You can't fix it's hard to fix something when it has this bad of a base to start with, so it really makes you think, yeah, nothing good is coming.
And I'm sure they'll pull out some, like, accidentally decent episode or so, you know, like, things happen.
He said accidentally.
Well, yeah, really, accidentally good.
Broken clock, but, right twice a day, you know.
Right, exactly. That doesn't mean I'm gonna come running back because you had one that's higher than a one on the grading scale. Like, no. Show up. And make something that is worth watching. Then, you know, I'll show, like, no. It's been too many years. You've had way too many chances to, like, make this happen. And it just, for me, I'm happy for people that are still enjoying it and watching it and thinking that this
we're
is fine.
We're happy for you. Like, yes. We're happy for you.
You do you. You know, go with God.
Like, we'll just be over here not watching. I'm serious. Like, I mean, the only fun part was watching live and talking about it and, like, just ripping it on a Saturday morning. But I didn't watch it live this time. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what? The commentary from our chat, I can just deal with that. I'm good. I don't have to watch the show.
Is it time to go back?
I kind of like the chat. That's the problem.
Is it time to go back to our Zio retrospective?
You know, God. I would not hate that personally.
Like, I'm down.
So down.
I mean, honestly, we could pick any episode from any of these other seasons and talk about it, and I would feel like we would. You know, they're not all great, but there's, you know, at least something there. And here it's just there's nothing.
No, and I would like to start making jokes again. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Yeah, like,
instead of, like, ranting.
I would like to make Power Rangers great again.
Oh, God. Make a hat.
Yeah. I will make a hat.
Yes, make a hat.
I will make a hat. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most... Yeah, dude. Yeah, I want to watch Zio. Sorry
that we can't be more upbeat, y'all, but like when you break us down so much.
Yes.
This is what happens.
Yeah, I feel sorry for everybody out there who might be listening to this who is finding some enjoyment in Ninja Steel, because I genuinely don't get it. Mm. I don't get how someone can watch this and think, yeah, this was great.
Yeah, if you're like literally like, I just need new Power Rangers, and as long as it's new Power Rangers, I'm happy. Like, okay,
unless you're making up a new show in your head as you watch it.
Yeah. If you're going off of our odd theories about what we want to happen and pretending that's the real thing, okay. All right.
Pretending Victor and Monty are gay is pretty much the main thing keeping me going in this show.
Super gay.
There's no pretending, though.
that's canon.
That's straight up canon.
The timing is interesting, though, just because, like, it's a Six Ranger intro, and I'm sure there are people who are like, oh, it's good now. Like, or, you know, like... Or like, hey, new Ranger. Like, obviously, like, this is the time to check, you know. Nah.
Nope.
Not this time. Like, I hate to disappoint people. And I mean that sincerely. Like, because I'm sure there are people who want to hear somebody say, like, hey, this was a good one. This was a whatever. I can say that this one was better, that this Gold Ranger episode was better than the one directly previous to it. But they're both not good. And it didn't stop me from deciding to not watch the next one or the next one or the next one.
If you want eye candy, you want some gold eye candy, watch the show.
Yeah.
If that's what you're into, go ahead. No judgment over here. None. You get some eye candy.
Just turn the sound off.
You get 20 minutes of just candy all over the place.
You know what? Turn the sound off. Make your own show.
Mm-hmm.
You dub it yourself.
Power Ranger Mad Libs.
Power Ranger Mad Libs. And you can talk about how, you know, that whole scene with Brody and Levi can be about them, like, you know, awkwardly flirting and, you know, their love grows and
yes. Like the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Storm will grow.
Yes.
Waters flow.
Something's flowing.
Yeah. Hey. Hey. Aiden.
Just what? You.
Yes, maybe Levi can rewrite the theme song.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if they did a country version of the theme song? Can you imagine?
Oh my god,
they
never
should
give
actually.
Up without a fight together, Ninja Steel.
Oh my god.
The Ninja Steel.
Got my pickup truck, Ninja Steel. Got my baby girl with me, you know, Ninja Steel.
Go, got go. A Tom who's not an uncle, Ninja Steel.
Tom.
That was not the best name. Just gonna throw that one out there.
That's a poor choice.
Nope.
You have chosen poorly.
Well, yeah, if you had black people writing the show, then maybe you would know.
What? What's that?
What's a black person? They don't have those in New Zealand.
No.
Except James Galen.
Hey.
Now, if James Galen had been Tom, this would have been 5 out of 5. Greatest episode.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Ninja Steel? You want our attention? Bring James Galen back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically.
Let's not.
How about you retcon the original dad and just make James Galen the dad?
Yes, greatest ninja of all time.
The greatest ninja of all time, James Galen.
God. I don't think he could save Ninja Steel.
You know, at this point, look, I'm never a fan of this sort of thing. When the show cut, like, I know they've already shot and written it, I understand, okay, this is not going to happen. But just when episode 9 airs, just act like it's always been a better show. Like, just forget the first 8 episodes happened and just start writing a new show. Just have a new premiere.
Wait, oh gosh, like what?
Just have a new premiere. Just redo it.
It just starts over.
It's
the remake. Let's do it. That's reversion. How fast they're happening nowadays anyway. Let's do it. Why not?
I think we're done with the show.
Yeah.
I think we're done. We're done.
Ninja
we're done,
Steel.
Right? We're done. Ninja like, we're done with we're recording, right?
We're done with recording tonight, Ninja Steel.
Yeah.
They got to do a country version.
Everybody give every episode a 1. We're done.
One.
Oh, right. One, I forgot we had to rate them, right? Oh, yeah, once.
Just once.
Sorry.
Those ones, good. You're good.
Once.
Attack of the Ones.
Good. Yes.
One pop.
Attack of the Ones.
You're number one, Ninja Steel.
Rogue One.
I will say, the ones are earned for Victor and Monty.
Yes. Victor and Monty. Everybody else is a zero.
Victor and Monty are MVPs. Shout out to those guys, legitimately.
These episodes were epic. Fail.
These episodes were an epic fail, Ninja Steel.
Yes, they come from the one galaxy.
Yes.
Okay.
Y'all put as much thought into our grades as they did in how they get new Ninja Stars.
Yo, I forgot we didn't grade the show. I'm like, we're done. Yeah, we're done. All right, grade the show. Once.
Would it have been a surprise anyway? I mean, really? Right.
One. Spoiler alert, one.
Spoiler.
One. Spoiler. I'm getting a vision, guys. I see a giant one.
Can you explain it? No, I can't right now. No. I can't.
I just can't.
Here's a star that'll give you lightning and thunder and wind power. Awesome. Here's a star that'll give you Zord. Awesome.
Cool. Epic!
Epic!
I'm excited for in the Q Ranger adaption where they're like, what do we turn down for? Turn down Rangers.
Turn down for one. Okay, that's it. We're done.